The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I met a lady named Suzanne Freeman.
Suzanne Freeman, and then he dumped her. I call it dump because he just kind of moved from one person to the other. And they went to Julie Rowe, and then he dumped Julie Rowe, and then he went to Lori. So he kind of kept doing this.
This pressing thing, I've got to talk. I've got to talk to Lauren. I've got to talk to Lauren. I just felt I should. And it's really for Tammy. When he made the national news, the kids are missing, and he's married some woman 2 weeks after Tammy died. I thought, oh my gosh, this is just not true. It can't be true. You probably know him better than most anyone. I was one of the first books he published. We had conversations how Chad really felt him and Tammy were soulmates. I thought he was a good man. I really did. And I felt that him and his wife made a really good team. This has been so devastating.
So this was introduced from Chad. Absolutely 100% sure of that.
Why couldn't he just question what he was hearing? It's stupid. Zombies? Who writes about zombies that make it, oh my gosh, a zombie list? Chad, you're going down in history as the dumbest murderer ever.
And Tammy wakes up to go see us. And of course, Chad and Lori would say, oh, that was Julie Rose's spirit that came and knocked on the door.
Okay, that sound familiar? You lost me right there.
Let me ask you about Tammy then.
She's starting to question if he's seeing somebody else.
Or
well,
Tammy
was, that's what she could tell. So that's how they knew the evil spirits were in her, is because now they were starting, she was starting to, and I don't remember what she said, something like, are you seeing another woman? Something maybe like that.
And she says, you know what I'm scared about the most? And I said, what's that? And she said, my dad getting remarried.
Really?
And I said, why are you scared of that? And she said, because I'm not okay with polygamy, and I'm afraid because my dad told me about multiple probations. Multiple probations is the doctrine of past lives.
And there's one thing about not being happy in your marriage. And who knows, maybe Tammy was obsessed with playing the video game and she played it hours and hours. I can't see that. She worked full time. I just don't
agree.
See. But yeah, I've thought about that, and I thought, wow, hell must be laughing because Chad totally gave in to all these little stupid little things. And it's stupid. Zombies? Who writes about zombies that make it, oh my gosh, a zombie list? Oh, the other question I had is, why weren't his kids put on the zombie list? I'd like to know. Were his kids that perfect that they're not zombies, but Tammy's a zombie?
Right. You know? There's a question about that. In my interview with Anna, and you might not know this, Suzanne, because I know you have kept your distance from the case. You've kept your distance, but you've also had to process it. And that's what I've learned from talking to you is, while you want it to go away and you try to avoid it, you
it's
also
have
to process it. And it's there in your face. And so I understand that too. You've thought a lot about some things and other things you're not as aware of. But there is what is called the infamous zombie and or Reddit email. I don't know if you know about that. Do you know about that? It came out early.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Yeah, it came out early on in the case. In well, January of 2020 is when this email made its way to public view. December 2019 is when the case hit the media and the children were missing. So the children were still missing at this point when this email came out, and the public was not privy to all of the information or the belief system about zombies. So when this email came out and it discussed zombies and Chad and Lori getting sealed in the temple and light and dark spirits, it was so bizarre and absurd that everyone discounted it until we realized a month later it was real and that everything in it was accurate, including Alex Cox's blood clot that he, or lung clot that he died from.
Oh, that was in the email?
Yes. That he possibly died of a lung clot. Yes. So I'll put a link to this in this description. We also talk about this email a lot with my interview, Anna from Avow. And the reason that we talk about it a lot with Anna is because she was part of this email. She says that it stemmed from friends and acquaintances of Melanie Gibb. As people were missing, Melanie Gibb started talking to her close friends from Avow early on, privately in the case, and her friends started taking notes. And they shared this note among smartphones so that people could add to it all these notes that people were taking about what Melanie Gibb was saying to them. Anna says that she has a more detailed Reddit email that didn't make it into the public's view, that her shared note on her phone has additional information that somehow was redacted. In fact, this is one of the redacted lines. First off, this is part of the original. Lori withdrew JJ from school, and this was the last anyone saw him. Page 4 starts with a line that Anna says is not in the original. Lori calls Melanie at the end of September and said that Tammy was on to them. And then October 19th, 2019, Tammy dies. Chad and Julie had done energy work using a pendulum and seer stone on people. They had spent much time together. That was one of the redacted lines. Did you ever know of a pendulum?
I just noticed, I heard about it when you talked about that. And my opinion about it is he stole it. How could anything come from God when it was stolen?
Yeah. Yeah.
So weird to me. How could you get so off track like that? He must have really liked the attention.
I agree. In that redacted information is this line. Here we go. I found the line. It's three redacted words. Chad tells Lori that Tammy, and then these three words are in bold, and their children have now become zombies.
Okay.
So it says, again, here's the unredacted part. I'll read it one more time. I'll go back a little bit further. They, meaning Lori and Chad, get up early in the morning and walk around the BYU-Idaho track together, holding hands and kissing. Tammy has become suspicious. Chad tells Lori that Tammy, redacted words, and their children have now become zombies. So the original we saw was that Tammy had become a zombie.
Okay.
Anna is claiming Tammy and their children have become zombies, which would imply, I don't know if that means he was going to do something to them, but I don't know. What are your thoughts about that?
He probably could have done something to them then. What did they do? I mean, without Kay and Larry Woodcock, where would we be with those kids still? Well, I think Colby would have probably said something. Where are the kids, Mom? You know, but
yeah, he was worried about his sister, Tylee. He was definitely trying to get a hold of her. Yeah.
And so I know others. And I don't know. Dr. John might know more, but what they did to her body, I think they were angry at her. I think it was more than trying to burn a body, because I think Chad worked in that field more. He probably would have known about cremation more than a normal person would have.
Right.
But I think it was more, we are going to get her. She's horrible. that sort of thing.
Tylee upset Chad so much that as the deity he was becoming, he was not someone who was looking for feedback about his fallibility at that time. Tylee probably told her mother, this guy isn't who he seems to be. This is getting crazy, Mom. I think you really need to pull back. And Lori just wasn't willing to hear that. And when Chad got word of that, I'm sure that her zombie status escalated quickly. Again, this is another way to dehumanize Tylee. Some of the evidence I have for this is the fact that Tylee's body was extremely disfigured and dismembered. And typically you'll see that when there's a lot of rage involved in a crime. It's one thing to kill someone and to bury them in a normal fashion or keep the body intact. It's another thing altogether to intentionally disfigure the body, to take it apart. In some cases, that occurs because perpetrators are attempting to dispose of the body, but that doesn't seem to be the case here. This would provide some evidence for the fact that Chad was extremely angry with her. He was probably very upset that Tylee challenged him. If not directly, then certainly indirectly through Lori. And so Tylee, unfortunately and sadly, paid the price for that.
There's wilderness out there in Idaho. They could have buried them and those children could have never been found.
Well, that's why I sometimes wonder if they believed it too. Or, as my husband John has said, maybe Chad felt some power knowing that they were in his yard. If he really wanted to feel powerful. I don't know your thoughts on that, but
I think he thought I agree. I think he felt he was above getting caught. I have to wonder if they had these two belief systems that, well, the one that they are doing everything God told them to do. And so They're not going to get caught. So they can just bury the children in their backyard.
Yeah. My husband has suspected, and he didn't know Chad, so I'd love your opinion, that maybe Chad genuinely thought that if he doesn't do the killings, he didn't do anything wrong. Do you think he would go there, or was he at least smarter than that?
No, I think he would have gone there. I think he would have gone there to what he's done. He always seems so... I mean, I can't imagine him being the mastermind of it all. I think those two were a pair that she thought of something. And being a mother myself, she had the chance to say, no, these are my children. We're not going to do that. You're wrong. She should have done that. They would have been alive if she would have done that. You know,
you have mentioned, you know, 16-year-old girls and 16-year-old teenagers and how they act. And you've talked about how you think that with Tylee, it was quite personal that Chad would, of course, know about cremation being a cemetery sexton. That's not exactly what he was trying to do. It was cremate, but there was something maybe a bit more personal or cruel or heinous involved with how they sort of mutilated her body.
They did. Yeah,
they did.
And JJ was more carefully wrapped up, but he was like almost there was more guilt about him or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Mm-hmm. So with, so knowing 16-year-old teenagers and knowing Chad Daybell, how do you feel that Chad would react? And I mean this, even the Chad you knew, would he react well to a sassy 16-year-old girl that perhaps spoke back to him or didn't believe him?
I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have.
And in that sense, was he not only just a controlling man, but perhaps patriarchal in those views too?
Yeah. You know? With some of the interaction, like the one with a author that he got really mad at for no reason, I can see that he would get annoyed at Tylee. I'm pretty sure. I mean, just an example of a teenage girl. I was pregnant and I had this apron that had, it goes over your neck, but it had ruffles around the waist. And here I am, like 8 months pregnant. And my daughter looks at me and she's like, Mom, don't ever wear that apron again. And, you know, I couldn't wear it for years and years because I mean, the way she said that, And so, yes, I can see how a teenage girl could say things just off the cuff, because they do. Their brains aren't, you know, fully developed, and they, you know, they are learning, and they, and of course, mother and daughter, that can be an issue.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's
right.
That's why I see that. Kylie could have been, I don't know. They must have, I think they justified it saying God told them to do it. I knew about the Lafferty murders. Do you know anything about the Lafferty murders? In that,
yes, and that miniseries Under the Banner of Heaven is now playing on Hulu.
Oh, really?
Yes, I do know about
the Lafferty murders. My sister was the one that took the call from the husband at 9.
What do you mean by that? The call?
911 call. She was the 911 operator.
Oh, wow.
And she thought he was joking. She said, I need the cops to come. My family's been murdered. And he said it in like a calm way. But he says, and then she questioned him a little more. He says, well, I'm not at my house. My phone's been ripped off the wall. I'm calling at the neighbors. And then she knew that there was something wrong. And that was just 2 blocks away from where I had was raised. So I kind of knew. And that's all about polygamy, because she laughed at them.
That was all about what, did you say?
Polygamy. It was all about polygamy, because heck, my dad had done the landscaping for one of them. They were a bishop and stuff. That was in American Fork area, Alpine, I think, where they lived.
Wow. So you don't even know about this new miniseries coming up. This is just,
I think, experience. I saw a little bit of advertisement.
Okay. But the you kind of relate this Lafferty Brothers
to Chad.
To Chad. A woman laughed at the Lafferty.
The gal that they murdered, the sister-in-law, she laughed and they said, well, you need to become a polygamist. It's from God. And she's like, oh, that'll never happen. I think is what she said. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true, but
sure. But what you've heard.
And she laughed. I think I was pregnant with my first daughter in 1980. She was born in 84. So I don't remember if, so yeah, mm-hmm. that kind of hit home. So I actually thought about what Chad had done and related it to that. So I assumed it was polygamy.
Daybell was married to his first wife. And in the practice of polygamy, only the first wife is ever the legal wife. All the rest of them are just celestial marriages done and sealed, and they're spiritual. They're not legal or the state doesn't have anything to do with it. And while Chad was still married to Tammy, he went and married Lori in the temple and was sealed to her.
They arrived at the temple. They were soon sealed in the sealing room facing each other. Elena looked so stunning as she smiled at him, seemed so calm, while he felt quite nervous. Their opportunity soon came to kneel across the altar from each other. James and Elena knew that they were now sealed as husband and wife for eternity. As the earthly sealing was taking place, a similar scene involving their spirits was happening on a higher plane. When they kissed and unified their souls, they knew they had just begun a new journey together that was eternal and never ending.
Never mind that he's still married
right
at this point.
And so in their minds, it was real. It was significant. There wasn't any pretending or playing about it. They were a practicing polygamist couple at that point. And in addition to polygamy, there was also polyandry happening, where Lori was married to two men at the same time.
Chad always had this weirdness. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. Like, when we were, he was getting done with my first book, he calls me up and he says, do you think maybe we could do a subtitle to your book? Do you think that would be okay? And he stammered asking me so much. I thought that was odd. I did find that odd.
Yeah.
But I thought, why? Yeah, do it. You know, but I know that he had worked at another publishing company before, and he'd worked with authors, and they can be difficult. Like, you change a name.
Sure.
So.
But you thought he was a little insecure about asking you more than he should have been.
Yeah. But then he was off the wall. Like, one of my friends called me that was publishing with him. And she was so upset that she suggested a name for the book or something, like a little change. Mm-hmm. And he went off the wall and chewed her out and said, "We might as well just not publish this book then if you're going to be that way." And she thought it was just out of character. It was so bizarre that she just asked a single question that he got so mad at her for. She didn't think that that was appropriate at all. And so I look back at all this. Did he really get off the wall in private like that? Did he really get angry like that in private? Maybe is that why he can't laugh? I'll be honest. I found that really strange, that he had this really strange laugh. And he was a terrible public speaker. He really was. It didn't even look like he was very prepared. I was there like, "Oh, Chad, stop stammering. Just talk."
You lose weight, it comes back. You lose it again, it comes back again. And if this cycle sounds familiar, you're not alone. And there is a better way. What if you could take a weekly shot to lose weight and keep it off? That's where Ro comes in. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Ro body program pairs a weekly shot with lifestyle changes so you can lose weight and keep it off. Ro handles it all, even insurance paperwork. If eligible, you have access to a provider on demand. You can sign up online from home, no doctor's visits. Average weight loss, get this, 15 to 20% in a year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria do apply. Go to ro.co/hidden. Sign up today and you will pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/hidden.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You know, but
speaking of his laugh, there is a podcast episode with Lori Vallow, Melanie Gibb, and Chad Daybell. Sadly, it was recorded after Tylee's death. So 2019, and Chad is being asked by Lori and Melanie, who are the hosts. So Chad is the guest, Lori and Melanie are the hosts, and he's being asked about his visions of Jesus Christ.
You are here with Lori and Melanie this morning on our podcast, Build a Fire. And this morning we had an opportunity to interview someone named Chad Daybell, who's had many experiences with the Savior of this world. Because of our love for Jesus Christ, we wanted other people to know how much he is an invitation to come unto him, how much he wants us to become part of his life, because he's already there. He's just waiting for us.
And he actually says multiple times throughout this interview that Jesus Christ had a sense of humor and a big belly laugh.
And a smile and a laugh that... kind of erupts kind of from his chest, you know. It's not just a giggle or anything. It's a full-hearted laugh, and it's a happy, happy laugh. He would joke a little bit with me. Nothing was too serious.
And that was always something that Dr. John and I noticed. We even did a podcast episode ourselves for Patreon on this podcast, discussing how interesting it was that while Chad doesn't seem to have much of a sense of humor, he kept putting this sense of humor on Jesus Christ.
I believe as we advance to heaven, that we'll be best off if we can have that kind of humor and that happiness in our lives as well, and not be judgmental of others. That was one thing that really stood out to me, was he just was not judgmental. There mm-hmm. was a love there that said, I accept you as you are, just mm-hmm. do the best you can.
He's not judgmental. He's just so not judgmental. He just doesn't judge us. I'm like, this is the man that created the light or dark rating scale right. and has declared children evil. And he decides to let everyone know that Christ is not judgmental. So my mind was a bit blown there that he thinks of Christ as lighthearted when he's so serious, and then not judgmental when I don't know if you could pick a more judgmental person right. than Chad Daybell.
A couple thoughts on this. Number one, it shows the absolute lack of self-awareness he has. If you think about the fact that he participated in the murder of a child like 10 days or a week before this podcast, and now he's saying not to be judgmental and to be loving and to have a light sense, you know, a lighthearted sense of humor. So the first thing that stands out about that is that this person clearly, and we've talked about this on our podcast, this person clearly lacks self-awareness. He lacks any insight into who he is and what he's doing with his life. So that's one. Number two, I think Jesus represents an ego ideal. Psychologists call it an ego ideal. An ego ideal is exactly what it says. That is that we, most of us have some ideal version of ourselves that we strive for. Oprah would call it our best selves or whatever. Self-help people would refer to that as kind of our best selves. But the ego ideal is often a little more, it's not as known. It's a little more subconscious or unknown. The ego ideal is this ideal image we develop of ourselves when we're little that we kind of hold in mind, not as necessarily as an aspiration, but as something that's a part of us, but something to strive for too. So I think Jesus, the way Chad describes him, is very much an ideal. So it's a projection of what he wants to be, but it's a projection that he is not. The humor, you're right, he's humorless. He's bland. Everything he describes in Jesus is not what he is. Jesus is very much, at least in this podcast and the way Chad describes him, Jesus is very much a projection of what Chad wants to be. Although, ironically, the lack of self-awareness suggests that Chad sees himself in this way to some degree.
Okay.
And the fact that at this point in his life, he's murdering kids and spouses.
And he talks about Christ loving kids, you know, and kids going up
right,
to
his grandkids. Yeah.
Humorous. He can see the lighter side of life. There wasn't a sense of judgment at all. He was always so kind. There were a couple of scenes I could see where my grandchildren went up to him a little bit timidly, but he just bent down on one knee and held his arms out, and they went right to him, and he just held them tight and smiled up at us as we watched him give them a hug, and did show his kindness and love towards everybody.
He's not the thing he wants to be, obviously, and he doesn't see it. So there's a massive blind spot, to say the least, here about this ego ideal and who he really is. There's this massive discrepancy. Right. There's this gap between
absolutely
who he wants to be and who he is.
We can get into discussion about this.
Please.
So in my book, I talk about Christ's laugh. Bust gut laughing is what I call it.
Chad used belly laugh. So what was the term you used in your book?
I'm not sure if I use it in my book, but I call it bust a gut laughing.
And that you say Christ.
He has a beautiful sense of humor. And he then perfect laugh.
Do you think then Chad was perhaps taking, plagiarizing some of your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing. When I heard, before all this came down, he talked about him having a near-death experience, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't. I'm like, all those years, I think by then it had been 15 years I'd known him. He published 3 of my books. Having a near-death experience, I know that people come to me and say, I had a near-death experience, and they tell me. They can't help it. I can't blame them either. And I love that hearing their stories because they're beautiful to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
He never once told me. Never once told me he had an NDE. Not once. And I'm sorry. You write, you publish 3 books from a woman and you don't tell her you had an NDE. I'm sorry. I don't believe him.
Because, you know, I've become friends with a lot of people and was a really a neat person I got to visit with. And she, you know, he wrote a book for her about her dreams and her, well, mostly about her near-death experience. When she was sharing that with him, he didn't disclose his. That's like if you and I were talking and I said, look, you tell me all about your near-death experience. I'm like, I'm going to tell you about mine.
Right.
He didn't do that.
He didn't do it.
And so she's like, I think he took stuff from her and Julie and other people. I think he just kind of story writer.
And I have proof too, because I have a lady that had read his book and he put in the back of his first, the trilogy, or I don't know how many books he wrote about the last day stuff. And he put it in the back of the book about my books, advertising my books. And he interviewed me and that those books were based on my experience. He put it in the book. And so then when he starts talking about, well, I wrote those 3 books based on mine, I'm like, are you that dumb that you can't remember that you put that in your published books and people know that you wrote those books about me, but all of a sudden they're about you now?
Wait, wait, wait. So he said, wow. Do you have a copy of that?
I don't know. I might. I'll have to look.
If you do, let me know. If you do, send it my way or take pictures. If you do, take cell phone pictures and send them to me.
Or if someone else does.
Or if someone else does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or anyone you know.
Because I know, I know he did that because this woman invited me to her house for her birthday. And I couldn't come because it was my son's birthday that day too. And she told me, this is how I found out about your books because Chad put it in there. And he quizzed me so much. I had no idea what he was doing. I don't remember if he said he was writing a book. I don't even think he told me that.
Then I met a lady named Suzanne Freeman.
But he was quizzing me.
Doctrinally, I wanted to make sure she was on track.
And I remember distinctly really knowing that, like, the spirit, just a still small voice was telling me, don't tell him anything that you're not sure about because he's gullible.
And after I had cross-examined her enough, I felt confident about it. And that's when we put together first her book called Led by the Hand of Christ, which is more focused on her experiences in the spirit world.
I had to say, yes, I saw this, or no, I did not see this. I could not give him anything that maybe, or, well, I kind of saw that, but, you know, maybe I saw it, you know, I wasn't going to do that. And I don't normally do that anyway. I'm not that way. But I remember distinctly, he quizzed me a lot, asked me some of the questions I thought were kind of silly, but that's when he admits that he quizzed me and wrote those. He really loved the last day stuff a lot.
He did.
So
in describing your near-death experience on this interview, I keep referring to, he never mentioned his near-death experiences, and he also discussed quizzing you a lot to make sure that your story was accurate and stuck with the doctrine of the church.
Yep.
And that's the Chad you knew.
That's the Chad I knew. He opened he started a publishing company that was only for the LDS author people.
And so you feel it was Julie Rowe that essentially steered him off.
I do. He was convinced that she's humble, that her story is really, really good. She's very, very humble. He kept telling me that. And I knew I was frustrating him. He says, oh, Susie, just read her books. You'll like it. I'm like, what I read, Chad, I just don't like. There's something not right. There's something not right. And he would roll his eyes and got so frustrated with me because I wouldn't do it.
He would tell you that he and Tammy were soulmates and that he knew her in the pre-existence.
Yep.
Did he ever tell you that he thought Tammy might die young?
No.
He did tell that to Julie Rowe and others, but not to you.
No, never me.
Did you ever suspect him hitting on you or anything?
No, no. He never. No, I never.
Okay.
I would never. He was a happily married man. I would never have thought that he would ever.
Okay.
But obviously, I'm not Lori. So.
Right. Right. Do you think he might have had an affair with Julie Rowe?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
And go ahead.
Julie liked to claim that she was assaulted by him and they kissed. Well, I think that's her guilt. I think that they. So spiritual healing can, kind of like therapy, I'm learning this, that when you're a therapist, there's feelings that can happen when you're so intimate to each other, talking about things that are so private.
Sure.
And counselors get caught up and they start having sex with their clients. And that's so against this client privilege. I mean, you could get your license taken away for doing that. So absolutely. I can see spiritual healing being in that category. Okay. That you let your guard down. There's like emotional feelings that go around. I totally think that they did. I do. And Julie's like, oh, he kissed me and she was assaulted. I don't believe it. I think it was consensual for sure.
And the time that you knew Chad Daybell, did he ever hit on you?
Yes.
What happened?
And my husband knows it.
Did Chad Daybell think you were one of his past wives too?
Yes.
Why not just have sex right now because you've already been married in another life? I'm seeing a pattern. Then there's Lori Vallow. Then there's the other lady you told me about that he was texting and her husband found out.
Right.
That's three right there.
He also told me that he thought he was married to Melanie Gibb.
I want to point out too that that assault that she talks about, the date of that would actually be after he had met Lori. And I find that interesting because I wonder.
That is interesting.
It is, huh? Because I do wonder if he left. This is me wondering, speculation, everyone talking to my friend Suzanne here. But I wonder if he left Julie or broke up with Julie to be with Lori.
Probably.
You know?
And the fact that she's. I've talked a little bit to Melanie Gibb and Melanie says that, Julie was quite demanding and she would text a lot and she'd just get annoying. And I think Chad got kind of sick of that.
I got a text from Chad last February when we had our falling out and I called him out on his relationship with Lori and some other things. Okay. I didn't name her. I said, I can see that you were talking to other women and having phone calls and conversations and I'm not okay with it. And then I called him out on some other things on his energy. He got pissed and he basically was like, wow, I can't believe that. You don't know me at all. Right. And you know what God said to me? You nailed it, Julie.
That could be the reason though.
Yeah. Interesting. Melanie Gibb, you two have talked.
Yep. She came to my house. We talked.
Because, you know, I've become friends with a lot of people and was a really a neat person I got to visit with.
Was that healing at all for you to kind of understand her thoughts or did that help? How about this? Not healing. Did that help you process anything, being able to talk
it
to her?
It did a little bit.
And understand more?
I saw you had had a discussion a little bit with someone else about her and I didn't realize, I mean, I just talked to her. She came to my house and we've talked several times since. I haven't talked to her for about a year, but she had to have known more of, I'm wondering if she, Now, I listened to what you guys said. She isn't being all truthful.
Sure. But at the same time, she is a witness to a lot. And she knows a lot, which can help people. And I genuinely hope that she is a witness called in this case because of what she knows. So no matter what she is or isn't telling everyone or how great her memory is or isn't, I do think that she is helpful to understand more.
And she wants to make sure that justice is done. I do know that, but I think she hates to admit that she got caught up in that. So
right. She doesn't want to admit that.
Yeah.
And the things that she might have done wrong too.
Yeah. And I just think, why could anybody, why would Lori believe that Chad just automatically just told Lori when they first met that he knew them, her, and I don't know how many past lives? Who would believe that as a pickup line? I'll be honest. I can't believe it. You know what I mean? And it just seems so far out there that.
I agree. So far-fetched.
Oh my gosh. It seems so weird. I would probably look at that man like, no, you didn't. And I never knew you, and get away. That's what I would have thought.
Right.
But those two.
Absolutely.
Were quite an evil match. That's for sure.
Did Melanie Gibb share anything about Tammy suspecting? Because she's mentioned that in multiple police interviews. And that Reddit email, did she say anything about why Tammy was dubbed a zombie to you at all?
I think she told me that Charles, I can't remember. I don't remember that conversation, so I don't know.
Okay, that's fair. But yeah.
I can't believe that Charles wouldn't have idly by and not contacted Tammy. Right. I think there's an email at her through her school email or something. He seemed like a smart enough man that could figure out how to contact Tammy.
Agree. You mentioned that the Jameses followed Chad to Rexburg from Utah. At the Firm Expo where I was earlier this month, or the Book of Mormon Evidence Conference, which it's also known as.
That's how I knew it as.
Yeah, so you knew it as. I talked to several people who knew Chad and Lori, and one gentleman did say that he knew of at least five families who had followed Chad to Rexburg. And he also mentioned the Jameses did as well. So you're not the first person to say that. Do you know of anyone else that did or know of people moving to Rexburg to prepare for the second coming?
No, I don't. I have a friend that moved there because the housing was cheaper.
But right. I think several people do that.
I laughed when Julie predicted that Rexburg is going to be a safe haven place because I was alive. I had an aunt and uncle that lived in out there, Rexburg area. And when the dam broke, and they're not that far from Yellowstone, I can't believe that that would be a safe place. And when Julie said that, it kind of made me laugh. I'm like, oh, come on, Julie. Really?
So did that come from Julie? Was Chad living in Utah still when Julie predicted this?
I'm pretty sure it came from Julie. I could be wrong. I'm sure it came from Julie because Julie went up there to Rexburg and gave a speech and talked about
preparing a people conference.
How this is a safe place. And
isn't it interesting, though, that she never moved there?
That is very interesting.
That someday after the second earthquake happens in Salt Lake, Rexburg, little Rexburg, will become the headquarters of the church as the war ends and we begin to move to New Jerusalem. Rexburg will be the center.
The plagiarism. You see a lot of plagiarism in Julie Rowe and Chad, is that correct?
Oh, yes. Yes, she used the format of my book, the way a timeline went, and her book was pretty much the timeline in my first book.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And Julie took, some people claim that there's other near-death people that she took their stories.
And some people say, oh, she just compiled other people's dreams and visions from online, yada, yada. That's all a lie. That's all a lie. This is totally legit, my own experience. And I wrote it within 3 weeks.
Julie Rowe claims in her autobiography that her first near-death experience is when she had her tonsils out as a child. Can you tell me a little bit about what you think when you hear that?
Oh, she totally copied me. That's not even private. I mean, that's been private for me. That's been
Did
private.
You tell that? Did you tell that?
I told that to Chad. I told it to Chad. And the reason why I, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I did this. So when I heard her third book was coming out, Chad had maybe a year before that, he told me, we were trying to get all three of my books put in one big book and take out a lot of the Mormon stuff and just get it out to a normal audience, just random audience. And so I was kind of working on it to get things in between so that one story can lead into the other and reason why we did that. So I was writing all this down. And then Todd just randomly said, I'm not going to be publishing any more books. The call out's going to happen in July. So I'm not publishing anymore. And I thought, fine, I'm fine. I don't care.
That's what he said?
That's what he told me, that the call out was going to happen in July. And this was 2014,
15. That would be happening that July. And it would be happening that July.
Yep. So he's not going to publish any more books. Well, that July came and gone. And I told him it wouldn't happen. And then he started publishing books, and I heard Julie's third book was coming out. I knew I had to get a blog out there. And I made sure he knew it, and I made sure he read them, because I felt that she would use my stuff, that he would let her use my stuff. Somehow my stuff get into his stuff or something. I just knew it. And I kind of thought, gosh, am I being like crazy? And for a lot of years, I thought, oh, that couldn't have really been the case, he couldn't have done it. But I just really put a lot of my stuff that I was giving him, I put it on a blog. And the tonsil thing, oh man, I'm very angry about that because I've kept part private to people. And honestly, how many people almost dies from having a tonsillectomy? Tell me.
Not many, I would assume. I don't know any statistics, but
I had to have blood transfusion.
Wow.
I puked blood. I puked like those kidney shaped things. I know two for sure. I filled two up and I was this tiny little. Yeah, I know I did three. I was on my third and it was coagulated blood.
And you shared this with Chad. You shared this experience.
I know I shared that with Chad because I wanted to keep, you know, I didn't really want to publish it that, you know, and I did come back very intuitive from that.
Yeah. I've talked to a close source. I would say a pretty good source that told me that Julie Rowe, that they knew, this person knew that the first near-death experience they knew of when it came to Julie was something that happened in the hospital when she was suffering from mental illness. But they never mentioned anything about tonsils coming out. Just want you to know. I'm not discounting Julie either. I'm just sharing what another person
has. We're probably the only two in the world that ever nearly died from tonsillitis, tonsillectomy.
Yeah, in modern days. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I need to be tested, but I had an ectopic pregnancy that I about died and bled from. Well, first I had the tonsils. I bled and had to have blood transfusions. Mm. And my ectopic pregnancy and I had to have some blood transfusions going through perimenopause. Okay. Like my iron level was 5.4.
Oh, wow. Wow.
People wouldn't believe me because I shouldn't be walking around, but I'm a tough cookie. Roger Young, of course, she took her last day stuff. So.
Okay. I know that you were a bit disconnected with Chad or didn't have as much of a relationship with Chad following him publishing Julie Rowe's books and your beliefs, you know, differing. Did you ever hear about a train dream from Chad? And I asked this because at the Firm Expo, one gentleman who's never listened to any Hidden True Crime podcast, he didn't know who I was when we started this conversation. He does now because I was honest with everyone at the Firm Expo who I was. But John and I have discussed this train dream that was on Avow and in our original podcast found on, you know, Apple or whatever people listen to podcasts. And this gentleman at the Firm Expo brought it up and he said, I think everything started with this train dream with Chad. And this train dream essentially implies that Chad was on a train with other prophets that were perhaps fallen. And that the idea is that he was on there with Julie Rowe and other well-known LDS authors like Gerald Lund. And that these authors had more knowledge essentially than the prophets, and they would be helping people in the last days. Anything like that sound familiar?
No.
No, nothing like
that. He was never like that with me. I always thought he was the strict prophet follower that could never disbelieve what the prophet was doing. And well, that's not the man I knew. Wow. But evidently he started creating the zombie lists and all this stuff. So he must have decided that he's a prophet.
Right. Why did Chad say that the end of the world would be in July? While he was clearly wrong, it seemed like he continued to stick with that date or that month.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. It's weird. I'm wondering if it is because of other dreams, like in the Dreams and Visions of the Last Days book. Okay. I'm thinking that that might be
why,
where it is.
Yeah, that makes sense. So when was the last time you and Chad ever communicated and how did that go?
That, well, we had some bantering back and forth because I wanted my rights back. And he simply just said, it was in an email. He says, I'll give them back to you if you pay me. And I owed him $300. He gave me the cost. And I didn't have it, but my friend gave it to me. She actually just gave me the money. She gave me the money to pay him off. So I paid him off. Months went by and he didn't pay me. And he says, oh, well, there's some royalties that I owe you. So he gave me a $400 check. And, but still
gave him $300. He gave you $400. Okay.
Yeah.
I initiated a call to him and I said, I want to stop publishing my books with you. And he gave me my book rights back. And then a week later, he tried to say that I had to spend over $13,000 to buy my books that he had already printed. And I told him no. And I got angry. And I said, God's telling me that's not what I'm supposed to do. He said in text, I don't know why you're so angry at me for suggesting you buy these books. This is how we're going to handle it. And I said, you already told me I had my book rights back.
And when you figure it, I think I got 10% of the book. So how much money was he making off my books when he promised me that he would give me my royalties back, right?
Your deal was that you only got 10% of the book sales?
And I know how much money he made off of me. For every dollar I made, he made about $4. And I probably sold 150,000 books. I probably sold 150,000 books.
I got more money when it was just a downloaded one. I think I got a couple dollars that way. But yeah, no, he totally, he was making money off my books and he didn't want to give me back the rights because he was making money. And I think he kind of figured I would just put it out there for free. And that's what I did. There's no way I could sell those books. I just couldn't. With what he's done, I have to give them away. So
where can we buy your book now? Which is also something that you suspect the a lot of your experiences are perhaps in Julie Rowe's book and Chad's books and speeches. But where can we find your book today if we want to read it?
I think it's Suzanne Freeman Wind Vesper, but I can't. I'm going to have to look that up.
For any of those interested in reading Suzanne's book, we'll have a link.
Free. I have yes, I have some of my other stuff that never went in a book about Christ and my experience. And so
despite Chad having rights to your books, we'll have a free download from Suzanne in the description of this video. But in addition to that, while you are giving this book out for free, you do hope that perhaps our listeners may consider giving or supporting one or two causes. Can you share?
So there's this group called, it's just one chapter. It's called Chain Breakers, and it's for abused people, not just women. And they have a food room, and all of them are volunteers. They have a food room where people can come in. There's fresh breads. There's fruit and vegetables that these volunteers pick up that very day, once a week. There's soup from a really good kitchen, the restaurants. And then there's a clothing room that is donated clothes. And this is women's clothes. They don't do men's clothes because they just don't have the room for that. But you can go in and for free and pick out clothes that would fit you. If you want, and I need to do this, Amazon has where you can donate to charities a certain portion. And they are on that. So it's Chain Breakers Foundation. And Chain Breakers is all one word. They have one gal that's a therapist, that's a social worker, that helped me realize the very first meeting she was talking. And she says, you know, the inside you is not broken. And I had to think about that. How can the inside me not be, how could it be, you know, not broken? Because I've been so abused for so many years. And they have classes. I think it's every Tuesday. It's by Zoom sometime. I think lately they've been doing some Zoom too. And it took me 3 years to realize I can do this. I can be single. Oh my gosh, they have helped me. So I hope any of you listen. They're willing to take a check. You can send them a check too. We don't get people out of the problem. We educate them to get out of their problem.
But hence Chain Breakers, meaning also trying to stop the next generation from doing what the past
they have mentor systems. So I call Betty's my mentor and I'll call her. And they do tell me I'm not that average abused woman, they tell me that somehow I always had this innate ability, even when my husband would say just awful things to me. I'd always hear that that's not true. You know, that's not true. So there's always this inside me that wasn't broken, but I didn't realize the inside me wasn't broken, but they helped me. So
this is a foundation that helped you to escape an abusive situation.
Yes.
You have, you're doing this for Tammy Daybell, who you say is a victim of abuse herself.
She is.
She was abused. Yeah. And this is a foundation that helped you personally and helps can help other women like you and like Tammy Daybell. And so if anyone would be willing to help you in this cause, as Suzanne gives her book out for free, it would mean a lot to Suzanne. I know that another foundation that Suzanne and I have both talked about as well, and that I've talked about on here, another option for those interested is the Tammy Douglas Daybell
Foundation. Oh, yes.
The Tammy Douglas Daybell Foundation was started by her siblings. So not her children. People ask that, but by Tammy Douglas Daybell's siblings. And they say that donations will be utilized to give books to children, assist libraries with various programs, and support literacy programs across the country. They're doing this in Tammy's name, as she loved to read and believed in teaching children how to read as a school librarian. And so with that being said, this episode, as you have always said, is dedicated to Tammy. And for those interested in helping women in abusive situations recognize the abuse, it helped you recognize some of the abuse that you didn't even notice. Is that correct?
Yep.
We'll have the Chain Breakers website in our description of this video. And for those interested in helping the nonprofit in Tammy's name, something started in her memory by her siblings and parents. We'll have the Tammy Douglas Daybell Foundation's link also in the description of this video. And in lieu of payment for Suzanne's book that Chad still has the rights to, but you can get for free, please consider a donation, even a one-time donation, to any of these nonprofits.
Gave me chills when I heard what her family's doing. And Tammy needs a voice. I just feel sad she can't voice it alive.
Agreed.
It's a terrible thing. This will go down as the most bizarre, stupidest murders I've ever it would be talked about for generations. It will. It won't be forgotten. If like someone like Dr. John comes up and studies, becomes what he's doing. Can't remember what your husband is.
A forensic psychologist.
That's it.
A psychologist, yeah.
They will see that case. I have wondered, do you think maybe you're helping some of the detectives figure out some of the timelines? You know, I wondered because so many people are diving deep into this.
I had just retired from TV reporting to be with our son. Our son was a year, but you can't take the journalist out of me.
Into this crime, you wonder if maybe the detectives think, oh, we didn't think about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. My answer is, I don't know. I don't know, you know, but I will say this. We've learned a lot from investigators and they have worked tirelessly on this. And if there's one thing they've maybe learned from hidden true crime that might help them, I hope that it does. I definitely know that John and I only want to be able to help and not harm anything going on. So if that is the case and it has helped anyone make sense of it or any investigator, that we're honored to have helped those investigators And detectives have been incredible. And we have learned so much from them.
I sure wish that they were in a bunker. That's where I thought they were, the kids. I thought they were in a bunker. I did. But
what about Tammy's death? Did you just suspect it was natural?
I thought it was. I had this weird. He put a Facebook post, and I don't know if you've seen read that. Weird to me. It was, and I talked to a friend too. We both read it. We're like, that was bizarre, because I thought, had she died from a long sickness? I thought maybe it was cancer.
Was this about Tammy's death? His Facebook post?
Yeah, he announcing made Tammy's a Facebook death? Post. That's how I found out about it. And I thought, first off, it wasn't very well written, but I thought, you know, he's a grieving husband that he wrote that. I mean, I can kind of see how that could be. But it wasn't that beautiful of a tribute, really. And I thought she had died from a long sickness.
When you read it.
I think you did say suddenly, but I don't know. There was some really weird vibe I got, basically. When I read that, I thought, something doesn't feel right about this. Why? And when I do that.
If we're thinking of the same post, because he wrote one for a vow and he wrote one for his private Facebook post. So if we're thinking of the same post, I agree with you. And one thing I noticed was that it was actually more about him than her. Like, we will miss her because she was good at A, B, C, and D. But don't worry, my children will be able to take over where she, you know.
Oh, see, and I didn't catch that. But all I knew, there's just my...
Your gut.
My gut was telling me there's something not right. So.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm able to speak for Tammy. Her family just can't. So,
right.
I don't love this. I have to distance myself sometimes. But then when you contacted me, I kind of had to watch what you do just to make sure that I'm comfortable with, you know, doing it. But I do it for Tammy. So, and I have nothing to be ashamed of. I didn't get caught up in it. I didn't believe what they did. I didn't change my mind and turn him in. I did not get caught up in it. And I'm sure I would have been on the zombie list. I'm sure I would have been.
You could have been. Who knows?
And I was a little afraid, me, knowing that he knew I knew things.
We have someone that does redaction science. Maybe I'll ask her to plug your name in some places.
Yeah.
But, no, thank you.
I was trying to get my rights back there for a couple of years. I finally realized, you know what? He's in prison. He's not gonna get me back. He did end up giving me the PDF files and on a CD of my three books, but I didn't dare do anything with it until I knew I was legally able to.
Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to say that we might have missed when it comes to this case and your experience with Chad and his belief system? And
no, I'd seen a lot of this stuff before, and all I can say is, Chad, you're going down in history as the dumbest murderer ever.
Not just a murderer, but a dumb one.
A dumb one.
And you think that maybe if he had Alex do the dirty work or something, or if that's what he did, maybe he thought he could get away with this or something, that it wouldn't be on him.
I think he had to tell himself that he's doing what God told him to do.
Yeah.
That's all I can figure, but maybe that's not what he believed. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
I've seen people think that they're doing stuff for God, and, you know, people fight wars for God.
It's become pretty obvious. He thought of himself as this powerful Davidic servant figure who essentially had power over death and destruction and gathering people, because he had a gathering, let's face it, a following, and was kind of gathering people. I think it's true that he thought of himself as that Davidic servant, and that all of the above in tier two fell under his immediate jurisdiction, his covenants, his mission on earth, if you will. And and Lori just got wrapped right into it, and they were the dream team for a little while, you know.
Your first book by Shirley, you know, the author and editor, it says that the description of it is that it will open our hearts to the great love and concern the Savior has for each of us. That sounds simple and beautiful. I just want to say thank you today for opening your heart and your knowledge to all of us. I know it wasn't easy, and I hope in some ways maybe this helps you process it too. The more we talk about it, the more I understand that everyone's trying to understand and heal and comprehend how such a horrendous tragedy could take place. So I just want to thank you for the time you've shared with us and for Tammy. And for those that are really trying to understand this, we do have a lot of listeners from Idaho. We do have a lot of LDS listeners. And I think they're all doing the same thing we're doing, trying to wrap our minds around this, you know. So thank you for what you've shared with us, and thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.